Our first speaker this afternoon is the Imam of Oklahoma City, Dr. Imad Inchasi. Dr. Inchasi grew up in a Palestinian refugee camps in Beirut, Lebanon, and being surrounded by war and conflict helped shape his passion for promoting unity and understanding. He studied at the Dawa University Institute and the University Institute for Islamic Studies in Lebanon, where he received his bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees in Islamic studies. Please welcome today Dr. Imad Inchasi.
Thank you. How many of you look at me and think of 9/11? One. this is United Methodist, right? All right. I was in a different church, in a different denomination. I said that, and everybody raised their hands, so to speak, when I said that. But I'm going to start right here in the United States of America, because indeed, anytime there is an act of violence in the United States, American Muslims have a different feelings towards it. Honestly, I'm sitting here today amongst colleagues and friends and family, and let's just have a conversation very open. The moment there is an act of violence on TV, many Americans are scared. Or many Americans look at the act and say, they have this feeling of sorrow or the feeling of feeling with the victims. On the other hand, and I say it as loud as it is, American Muslims normally don't have the same feelings because we're scared, honestly. So the moment an act of violence appears on TV, as American Muslims, we're praying, not necessarily for the victims, that's what we ought to be doing, but we're praying that the person who perpetrated the act is not a Muslim. This is as honest as I could put it. So indeed, the idea of violence is not something new for me personally. I grew up in a Palestinian camp. I survived a massacre that was perpetrated in the name of Jesus. But at the end of the day, I always make this joke. I said, don't look at me and think of 9/11. Look at me and think of 7/11. Okay, how many of you are thinking of 7-Eleven, the store? Racist people. I'm thinking of Genesis 7-Eleven. This is when Abraham was dying and he asked his son, Isaac, to call or email his brother Ishmael. And Ishmael came all the way from biblically the city of Mecca, what is known as Paran, passing through the city of Tima, which is Medina, and ending up in Jerusalem, where Ishmael and Isaac buried their father Abraham. This is what I want you to think of me when you look at me. Don't we look the same? Look at this. There you go. So we are brothers from different mothers. When we look at the history of Islam, this is 12 minutes is very brutal for an imam or a rabbi to give him to cover such a subject. But I want to tell you that my thesis was about the constructive effect of 9/11. Because indeed, despite the violence of 9/11, there was a constructive effect of 9/11 on individuals. Now Muslims are more participating. There is positive integration in the society. Muslim individuals are more moderate, and Muslim individuals are participating in interfaith. Organizations, as far as organization, Muslim organization have, after September 11th, open up. We were very happy in our own cocoon, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we paid charity. But after September 11th, we thought we are no longer Muslims who live in America. We are American Muslims. A lot of things happened after September 11. Muslims had their arts. They showed their arts by writing, by singing. And my important or most merely passionate. One is comedy, Islamic comedy. The word comedy and Islam doesn't go together sometimes. Actually, in my thesis, I try to explain to people, the five conservative people who are looking at me to see how is comedy as a form of outreach to others. They said to me in Lebanon, say something funny. So I said the same joke. I said, I'm responsible for 9/11, not 7/11. And I got zero laughs. What I got is, what did we do on 7/11? Americans are accusing us of 7/11. What happened on July 11th, you know? That's all I got. But for the most part, I want to give you a brief history really quick since I have 6 minutes left. I don't know how much I have. Does this open when the time is over in the fall? The revelation was received by the prophet, peace be upon him, 6:10. And till 6:22, the prophet, peace be upon him, and the companions were under severe persecution in Arabia. In order to stay away from violence, the prophet ordered everybody in the city of Paran or in the city of Mecca to migrate 350 miles away, walking to Medina in order not to have any violence. There in Medina, and the word Medina actually in Arabic means civility. There in Medina, the prophet was the federation where Jewish tribes and Christian tribes and idol-worshipping tribes had their own states. And the prophets and the companions were a federation in the middle. Indeed, the Muslims were not to be left alone. After 14 years, the people of Mecca attacked the prophet, peace be upon him, and the companions. And there were three consecutive battles. And 6:28, there was a treaty known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the Muslims signed a peace treaty. Within those 3 years that the treaty survived, there were a time of peace, a time of tranquility, and no violence. And indeed, when Muhammad went back to Mecca as a conqueror, he forgave everybody. He forgave every single person that have harmed him. For the most part, after in the life of the prophet, peace be upon him, you would see the practice of moderation. You would see the practice of peace. You would see the practice of excellent relationship, in particular with the people of the book, those who are Jewish and Christians. As a matter of fact, the scripture, the Quran, teaches us that there are three major chapters in the Quran that talks about the children of Israel and talks about the Jewish community, and talks about Jesus. In particular, a chapter named Ali Imran, where a Christian delegation came to the prophet, peace be upon him, and was dialoguing about Jesus. And the prophet welcomed them. And the prophet, towards the end of the night, they were supposed to sleep somewhere. There was no Motel 6 back then. So the story goes that the prophet would erect a tent for those people to sleep in his own mosque. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, this is not any mosque. This is the second holiest mosque for the Muslims. And when the Christians would wake up in the morning and listen to the hymns of the prophet reciting the scripture, they said to Muhammad, we need to do our own prayers. Where do we go? And listen what Muhammad said. He said, this is a place of prayers. You do your prayers right here. Now, the reason I say this story, because I preached that sermon on Christmas, and I have some people came to me that they thought they know more than the prophet. Say, really? Muhammad would let the Christians say their prayers inside, not any mosque, but inside the second holiest mosque for Muslims. So indeed, we have this problem after the prophet passed away. After the prophet passed away, did you say five? No, not yet. Oh, that's good. I'm praying that he would forget the timing. After the prophet passed away, there were what we call a caliph, the people who succeeded the prophet. Two of them died on the sword of the Muslims. Two. Caliph Uthman and Caliph Ali. Those two died by the swords of the Muslims. So honestly speaking, there was a group that we call it the Karajites. According, this is the new name, we call it Al-Khawarij in Arabic. Karajites is the American name. Karajites are a group that are known as the separatist group, or the group that seceded. They thought they knew more than the Prophet. And they're extreme in their thinking. Let me give you some of their characteristic. They have no compromise with others. This is, by the way, if anybody read When Religion Go Lethal by Dr. Charles Kimball, it goes point by point about extremism and religion. They have no compromise with anyone. They have rigid, literal interpretation of the scripture. Rigid, literal interpretation of the scripture. They declare everybody that doesn't agree with them as an infidel. They are Puritan in their interpretation. They wage guerrilla wars. They glorify death and suicide missions. And they inspired people from the 7th century all the way to the 21st century that we live in. Not only that, I want to tell you from a very, very personal perspective, they believe that they're only one going to heaven. It's amazing how God hates the same people we hate. They inspired many groups throughout the Islamic history. And indeed, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire in current era, they took many names. Unfortunately, those names have the word Islam in it, or have the word Muhammad in it, or the word Nusra in it. All these Islamic names and words that might inspire young followers. For the most part, the Middle East after World War II was divided into little bitty sections. And there's not one person that speaks for Islam. One of the questions I was supposed to answer is, who declares what is extreme and what is not? And unfortunately, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic world was divided into small sections. Sometimes within one country, you have different verdicts. Where maybe in the Catholic faith, the Pope would make the decision, and that's what it was before, and it would decimate throughout the whole congregation. In the Muslim world right now, we have feuding, little bitty dynasty feuding over really petty things. To make a long story short, I know I don't have much time, but we'll give it in question and answer. These mentalities still exist to this day, in different names, in different nations, in different countries. And the question is, what do we do? In the West, 40% of the Muslims are immigrants. If you go to the mosque, you would see 60% who are indigenous to this land or descendant of immigrants. And it's so profound for this statistics to know, because indeed, when we say indigenous Muslim, we're talking about African Americans who were brought here. According to Dr. Sherman Jackson, 44% of African Americans were Muslims who were brought here as slaves. And now you have a combination of the two coming together as what I call a constructive effects of 9/11 with loud voices. Combat hate with love. And this is what we do. I always eye the nuns. Because I grew up in a Catholic school. And when those people surrounded our camp, invoked Jesus' name, and butchered 1,800 people in cold blood, the only Jesus I knew of is the Jesus that the nun, my teacher, who taught me about. Jesus of mercy. Her name actually was Miss Rahma. And I love Miss Rahma very dearly. The word Rahma in English means mercy. And every single Muslim organization you have now in Oklahoma City has her name. Mercy School, Mercy Cemetery, Mercy Interfaith Dialogue, Mercy Youth Club, and Mercy Mosque. May God's mercy be with you. Thank you.